28, almost 29 minutes after 11 o'clock. Thursdays, we are guest heavy. When we are having a guest in studio, we ask that you try and keep it consistent with the guest and topic. But on these guest heavy days, if you need to get a word in, do so. But again, we welcome back to the show Richard Avery, Bears Garden Center. How are you, sir?
Jeff, doing great. Thank you.
Good to hear you. You brought in, I'm almost confused with what it is you have brought
in. I bought some stuff in.
You have. It's a pallet or a flat of something.
Yeah, basically this is...
Looks like lined little garbage cans.
That's right. It's a little, we call them, I didn't want to dirty your place up.
Okay.
All right, so I put them in these plastic containers so that it would contain the soil I have in here. And I said soil, not dirt, okay? And so...
And for our the difference there.
Well, dirt is really more of a slang term, I guess. You know, soil is, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is what is soil? You know, is there a, you know, and I wish they would do this, but there is no criteria, you know, how with, I don't know, with foods, there's a certain criteria that, you know, for a certain food has to be a certain percentage of whatever to be that. And with soil, there's no criteria. So basically what this topic is today is about, you know, you see a bag of potting soil. You know, you could have five bags of potting soil, Jeff, lined up next to one another, and both of them be completely different products,
But they can still call it soil.
Even more technically, they'll call it potting soil, which in my mind or a consumer's mind would mean that this is soil to be put in pots. Or another one is topsoil. You know, there's no grade. You know, what is topsoil? And so you got to be very careful, you know, in terms of when you're purchasing a product. And it's not even, you know, price is not even a variable because it depends on what you're using it for. Sometimes a cheaper brand of potting soil is better for what you're doing with the product than the more expensive. So I wish there was a criteria, but anyway, I'm going to try to go over today with the listeners and I brought my wrong sheet, so I'm going to have to ad lib.
Okay.
All right. So,
He's so anyway. Looking at a blank piece of paper right there. It's beautiful.
It has seed potatoes. My seed potatoes are coming in today,
okay.
which is something we're going to be, I'll mention briefly right now, is that, you know, potatoes, it's really too early to plant them. Now, if you have the right situation, you could plant them, but you'd have to be willing to protect them. We're getting some cold next week. Let's say you planted them a week ago, they sprouted.
Yeah, we could get into the lower 30s Monday night into Tuesday,
I think. So, you know, it's in the ground, you know, tell people you don't want to plant seed Irish potatoes till middle of February, give or take a week, depending on weather. In raised beds where the drainage is good, you could do it early, but still end of January is fine. You know, you start too early and a lot of issues will come into play. For example, what we're talking about here, if you plant it now and let's say in 3 weeks they're, you know, 8-10 inches above the ground and we get 28 degrees, which we could, then that would cause a problem. Whereas if you plant them in the ground in 2 weeks and you got to 28 degrees the next week, wouldn't be a problem because the foliage isn't up. So really end of January, February is when you want to plant the Irish potatoes. Those are arriving in today and we'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
All right. But getting to the soils, I'll try to go off, you know, what I wrote down is you know, you always want to know what you're going to use the soil for. For example, you know, many times people come in and they're trying to fill a hole in the yard, whether it be the grass, maybe, you know, and it's a small hole that you need to fill it in. So what they do is they ask for topsoil. Well, we try to train everybody to say, look, when a customer asks for topsoil, you want to ask them what they're going to use it for. Again, we're getting into that there's no criteria. So I have two bags of topsoil, Jeff. They're identical. They both say topsoil, but one is a true topsoil. Okay, I'm just going to show it to you, Jeff. I don't want you to touch it because it's really dirty.
And the glare, it's kind of tough.
Yeah, and basically what I'm showing, Jeff, is
and you still managed to get the dirt all over the place.
Man, I'm sorry. I'll clean it up.
But as you can see, we keep this place pristine. This is a tough building to keep clean, I got to tell you.
Yeah, it's kind of like these old buildings. Yes. They just the dust comes off the walls, you know. So, But what you'd want something is something that would pack really hard to fill a hole in the yard so that it would just pack and then the grass or whatever would grow right over it. Whereas if you use another type of topsoil that maybe had more organic matter in it, that maybe technically it's labeled topsoil, but it's going to be too spongy and it'll never compact on you because it has too much compost in it. So you wouldn't want that topsoil. You'd want the one that's more of a true soil coming out of the ground. And I hate to say it, dirt. But it has to be a soil. Now, you wouldn't want something that's high in clay. You wouldn't want to go dig the, and that'll pack and do great.
Think about it. They make bricks out of that. You don't want to try and get a seed going through there.
Exactly. Nor would you want St. Augustine to grow over it.
Yeah.
And not that it wouldn't grow. It would grow over there, but it wouldn't perform as well as if you just had something that was more of a true sandy loam topsoil. So we ask the customer, say, okay, what are you going to use it for? And it's for that reason. A lot of times they said, oh, I'm going to take this, I want to put it in a flower bed. Then actually the cheaper grade of topsoil would be sufficient for what you're doing. So that's just one small example of getting the right soil for the right situation, and that's in the ground.
And you know, this is going to sound like a shameless plug, but I don't picture you getting this kind of advice if you go to the big box store.
No,
as if these people are going to ask, first of all, think to ask these questions, and yet alone have the answers to the questions.
So. Yeah. Well, that's true, and that's kind of this is kind of the way it is today. But yeah, you're correct.
Yeah,
they just they really don't know. And so the next jump is, let's say someone is planting a shrub or a tree in the ground. All right. No, our ground is really high in clay, so you'd want to amend that soil. And we always tell, the customer, say, well, look, when you amend soil in South Louisiana, you don't want to dig a hole 3 feet deep and 2 feet wide for a plant that's only a foot, has a root ball of a foot long. And the reason is because our soils in South Louisiana are usually high in clay, certainly in this region. And therefore, if you dig a deep hole, it acts like a swimming pool, and it fills the hole up. So if you put a nice loose, a lot of organic matter soil in this deep, deep hole, what essentially happens is you get a rain, and it just fills up with water, and it stays for several days because it has no place to go. The clay seals it. And so it's always best to dig the hole only the depth of the root ball. But with that being said, so you want to, I said at the beginning, you want to amend that soil. So what would you want to amend the soil is with a something that won't compact, that'll break up that clay, so those roots initially have a chance to get through that soil easily and quickly. So what you'd essentially have is a hole that is packed at the bottom with the clay soil that is wider. Generally, we say about twice the diameter of the root ball at the top, and then you amend that saw and you actually mix it with your saw that you take out of the ground. And people say, well, why would you want to use that bad dirt? Well, just remember, those roots will eventually have to go through the bad dirt. I mean, if you got a tree that's going to be 30 feet tall, it's going to have a root span of 15 feet in all directions. So it's going to eventually have to grow through this clay soil. You're just trying to allow this plant to root, get established easy, so that as time goes on, it will eventually penetrate that clay. So you want a good soil that has a lot of organic matter in it. And so that's, now it's confusing to the consumer, because you say, well, man, should I buy one of these topsoils? In our case, the topsoil we have, I wouldn't use either one in that case because there's not enough organic matter in it. The one we talked about earlier that is a true topsoil is just a good sandy loam soil. It's good, but you'd want something that's going to actually retain a little moisture and just kind of break up the soil. So that wouldn't be the best. The cheaper topsoil that we talked about earlier, that's just basically sand and little, it has organic matter in it, but it's mostly bark, okay? That wouldn't be too good because it's going to pack on you and it won't hold the moisture because the organic matter in it is bark. You want something that has a lot of peat in it, a lot of peat-based soil. So you're going to look for And it's very hard for the consumer. You know, you're going to look for a product that has a lot of peat moss in it, and it's going to have a little vermiculite and perlite, but mostly peat in there to, again, to break up the soil and help you retain moisture. Now, it's very difficult, Jeff, when you're looking at a bag as a consumer to say, okay, I'm seeing three bags here. All of them say compost, okay? And, again, you know, we have it at the store. We have one that says compost and manure, and one it's black gold compost, okay? And they're both compost. One is $2.69 a bag, and one is $5.99 a bag. Okay, big difference in cost. Basically the same size. Maybe the 5.9 is a little bit bigger, but basically the same size. And so you got to be careful, because a cheaper one in this case is not sufficient for that plant because of what we talked about. The organic matter will not hold the moisture. The other one is more of a peat-based product, and that's why it's more expensive. But it's well worth it. And I always, you know, Jeff, when we talk about planting plants, you know, the soil is it can be expensive, but if you're buying a $50 plant and you put it in a $2 hole, you're going to end up with a $2 plant.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is well worth the expense to do it right so that that $50 plant will become a $100 plant, because it has a chance to succeed and perform well. You know, it's just like anything. You know, it's what kind of what you put into it is what you can get out of it. So if you don't put the right stuff in, it's not going to come out the way you want it. So, you know, be aware of that. So you're looking for, when it comes to planting shrubs and trees, that you're just not doing in the bed. You want something, a lot of our good organic matter, a peat-based product that will retain a little moisture and do well. Again, both of these products, I just said, Jeff, said compost on them. Both of them said manure. It's a matter of the percentage of the manure and the percentage of the peat base. Now, what we do at the shop is we open all these bags and we have samples so the customer can actually put their hands in it.
Nice, nice.
And so that you can actually see what it is. And that, you know, that helps a great deal, because – you'll see what I'm talking about as I'm talking to the listeners now, is that you can almost see the quality difference by looking at it and touching it. You can tell. But again, that does also depend on what you're doing with it. So let's jump to the container now.
As a novice, you know, sometimes I think the darker it is, the better it is. Is there anything to that?
Well, yeah, there is. I mean, peat is generally a base product, but I mean, it's not 100%, but it's maybe the looks that you're describing, Jeff, and also the feel of it. You know, by feeling it, you can tell the difference. But usually, like a lighter color one, you have more sand in it, you have more bark in it, whereas a darker color one, you'd have it'd be more of a peat-based product. And so, yeah, yes, and a combination of both would help you. But let's jump to a container plant. You want to plant something to contain it. What I'm saying by that, what's a container plant? It could be a house plant, a foliage plant that goes indoors. It could be a hibiscus that stays outside in the sun. It could be a cactus. So there's many different variations of type plants. So there's no one answer to this. You know, what is the best, you know, soil to go in a pot? You know, we sell products, Jeff, that says it's container soil, okay? And then just like the other one, I have one container soil that's $15 a bag, a big bag, you know, or we have a container soil that's $12 a bag. Now, if you looked at what's in it, and you can kind of feel, you may not know, but you can tell which one is the better bag and or the better product, and but you still need to know what you're using it for. And the reason I'm saying that is most of the plants, the better container soil is the one you want to go with. And I'm talking about plants, indoor plants, ficus, dracaenas, peace lilies, any indoor plant, indoor foliage plant. You want to go with the better soil because they will hold moisture, they will drain well, and so that's good. The plant, for example, if you're planting a hibiscus outside, I would go with the better soil because, again, when in an outside situation, it's going to dry out even faster. So you definitely want a soil that's going to retain moisture and give you the least amount of water. So that's kind of what you'd go with. However, let's say you were planting a succulent or a cactus or something like that that doesn't require a lot of moisture. Then actually that cheaper potting soil would be the one to go with because it's sandy, the water goes through it. You really don't need it to be all that moisture retention, and it actually would be bad for the moisture retention. So in that case, you could actually go with the cheaper potting soil. But as a general rule, when it comes to planting plants in pots, you always want to go with a better grade of potting soil. And just because they advertise it, Jeff, doesn't make it better. And I'm going to throw the name out there. Miracle-Gro is a highly advertised soil, Jeff. But I can tell you that the price, and we sell it. We sell it because it's an item that people recognize and they want it. But just remember this. Whenever, you know the big boxes are selling soils that they want a certain price point, okay? And for these places to stay in business, even though they're going to sell it cheap, they have to make that soil in some way cheaper. So just like they do with many products, they may add more of a less expensive element into that soil, so that it the volume is cheaper. You know, we see a lot of, for example, we have Miracle-Gro planting soil. I think it's called planting soil, and it's rice hulls. Now, they went with the cheapest product they could find. There's a mixture of different things, but the truth is that that's what they're going to use a cheap product to make that price point cheap because that's what the big boxes want. They say, look, we're going to sell it at X amount of dollars, and you're going to have to give it to me at this price. And so it changes. You know, it changes from season to season. Sometimes it's a little bit better product, sometimes a little bit worse. But the consumer knows, I'm telling you, if they've used it, they'll see. Sometimes they'll open a bag, and it's completely different than it was the year before. And that's because of the commodity that they used the year before went up, or they had to use more of the cheaper commodity to get that price point that they want. And so you got to be careful of that it changes. And so you just buyer beware. When it comes to soils, I wish there was more of a criteria that everybody had to meet. That would change the game completely because they couldn't just change it. And so you want to be aware of that. So the bottom line is that you want to know what type of plant you're potting. You want to know what you're using it for, how you're going to use it, whether it be in the ground, in a pot, indoors, outside. And then if you know that, you can kind of define, you say, well, I need a well-drained soil. I need a soil that packs. I need a soil that stays loose. I need a soil that holds moisture. And that kind of gives you a guide for what you need. Okay?
Fair enough.
Now, the other thing they've done in the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years, is now they started to do additives to the soil that would increase the selling points. And the biggest one is the fertilizer, adding fertilizer to soils. And we have products that already has the fertilizer in it, Jeff. And it's really because we're forced to, okay? But we tell our customers, say, yes, it does have fertilizer in it, but if you look at the percentage in it, it's very, very little. And keep in mind, Jeff, many of these products are in the humidity, or in the rain. You know, we keep our soils undercover. But the truth is that as soon as that soil starts getting moisture in it, that fertilizer in it breaks down.
Degrade, yeah.
It breaks down. So you may very easily get a bag of soil that has very little fertilizer to begin with. If you really look at the ratios, very little to begin with, but it's used up already. So we tell our customers, say, hey, still you want to add soil to this product, even though it has fertilizer in it, you want to add a little fertilizer just to make sure that you're okay. And trust me, Jeff, you won't be able to overdo it. The fertilizer they have in these bags, there's no way you could over fertilize it, but it won't be because of what was in the bag. It's because you took too much out of you and just added too much. You didn't go by direction. So you always want to add fertilizer. So if you can find a bag that's a good product that has no fertilizer in it, that's the one to go with. But it's harder and harder to get today. And so So always supplement with either liquids and or granulated fertilizers, even though the fertilizer may be contained within the plant, within the soil bag. And then the other one is the moisture crystal granules. And that is something that they add to the soil, Jeff, to help that soil retain moisture. It's a pellet that actually swells up and retains moisture. And then as the soil dries up, it releases. It's kind of like a jello, okay? So that's sort of what it does. So just remember that with the moisture granules, you'd want to kind of avoid that with a succulent, with a plant that's going to really doesn't like that moisture. And that's a problem. And in a way, I try to tell people when it comes to indoor plants, if you can find it, try to get one without the granules in it, because usually what occurs with indoor plants, it's not underwatering, it's too much water. And so if you get a product that just retains moisture and has these granules in it, it's not the best situation. Now, outside, for those hibiscus plants that you know they're going to dry out, once the temperature starts to get into the 60s and 70s, they're going to dry out very, very fast. The moisture granules are a great asset, but it's a negative when it comes to interior plants or succulents. So you want to look out for all these additives and just kind of be aware of what you're purchasing and why you're purchasing.
It's an unusual siren I saw one marked car go by with just its lights on, no siren. And then we just heard that unmarked vehicle. You couldn't see, but it was an unmarked vehicle with lights on, not an unusual siren.
That was a definite. Yeah. I've never heard anything like that.
I hear them all.
Yeah, I guess you do. In the middle of your shows and everywhere. Huh?
No doubt.
Oh my gosh. So. So you know, it's a confusing. It's very confusing to the consumer, and I wish it wouldn't be. But they need to come up with criteria that would make it less confusing for the consumer. And I see it all the time. You know, the big boxes. I'm gonna get on my soapbox right now.
No, okay? do.
And I see it all the time. And I've seen it with Roundup, where the big boxes have taken a product that was easy for the consumer to identify, meaning that the name of it is Roundup, the percentage of chemical in it is the same percentage, and everything is the same. Then what they do is they took that product and they maybe changed a little color here, changed a little color there, left it the same, but instead of being 49% glyphosate, which is with Roundup, it's 22% glyphosate. You can't tell. You can't tell unless you know what you're looking for. Then, which is totally wrong, they'll actually take it and they'll use the same size container, but instead of being 32 ounces, it may be 24 ounces. Mm-hmm. It's the same size container. It's unbelievable. What bothers me about it is that you give the consumer the information and you don't try to trick them, they can make an intelligent choice. And that's really all we want as consumers, whether it be in the grocery store or whatever. Give us an opportunity to make an intelligent choice. And the consumers can make it. They can figure it out and say, okay, all right, you're telling me that you've reduced the concentration here, so I got to use twice as much as it did before, but the price hadn't cut in half. The consumer can figure it out, but it's never been regulated for that. We see it with ant poisons where they reduce the percentage of chemical and they leave the packaging identical. And so instead of being 16 ounces, it's 12 ounces. But the packaging size is identical. The consumer can't tell it till they open the can and they realize there's 4 ounces less in it. But they still don't realize, they hadn't put together, that they have half the percentage of the chemical or whatever percentage of the chemical. It happens all the time.
I won't name it, but there is a particular big box store that pressures its vendors into doing those kind of things to make so that they can sell it cheaper. And you are getting a different grade of product going there versus maybe someplace else. It's a fairly known practice of theirs. You know, maybe they are selling bars of soap that are 3.5 ounces instead of 4.5 ounces.
Absolutely.
And again, people may not see that, but there's a way. They force their vendors, especially some of the more local stuff, to really dumb down their stuff so that they can sell it cheaper.
Absolutely. And which is fine. You know, which is fine. It's just the consumer
should know what they're getting.
Should be not. I guess it's deceived in the sense that, you know, they're making the product different, but boy, it sure looks the same. And that's just wrong. But that's my soapbox. But the good news is that, you know, some of the retailers are doing just fine with the big boxes, and we've been very blessed and fortunate to be one of them. We had a great year last year, and we're looking forward to another year. Now, this is our time of year to get ready and get going. So there's not much going on except that behind the scenes we're, you know, getting trucks in and getting ready for this coming spring, which I think is going to be a good one, Jeff.
Well, let's hope so. You know, we touched on the idea that we might see freezing temperatures at least one time next week, Monday night into Tuesday. We may just kiss freezing for an hour or two, but any specific issues for folks?
You know, not really. Obviously, if you have anything that's really sensitive to the cold, and that's mostly going to be things I'm talking about, is going to be indoor foliage plants that really can't take, once you start getting into the 50s, they don't like it. You don't want to protect anything like that. But really, when it comes to the, you know, hibiscus and bougainvilleas, as of right now, Jeff, what they're showing is not going to be an issue. The fruit trees, the citrus and all that, really it's going to be a non-issue. And so, you know, hopefully if you pulled your plants in, you know, for wintertime and having a situation where you can kind of protect them, that should be all you need to do for what they're calling for at this point for next week. It's just not going to be that bad. And this is a good prime example, Jeff, of why the people who are fertilizing now, the big boxes are going to start advertising this in probably in February, and it's way too early. But if anybody has put down fertilizer, because your grass has been wanting to green up, put down fertilizer now, it's going to be nice and fresh and stimulated. It's going to have a problem. Won't kill it, but it can cause disease issues and certainly stunt it back dramatically. So kind of hang in for that if you have weed issues. You know, maybe I'll touch on again next week. There's things you can do right now for the weeds in the lawn, but you don't want to do the weed and feeds. It's way, way, way too early.
Weed and or feed or the combination?
You don't want to do the combination, or you don't want to feed. It's the feed part that's the problem. Now, not the weed part. You know, we have granules that you can put down now that have no feed in it, which is fine. It's the combination of weed and feeds that is the issue, because you're stimulating growth on something that really needs to be dormant. And in South Louisiana, you know, if you did this in your neck of the woods in Ohio right now.
In Illinois.
Yeah,
we're thinking about Ohio because of Joe Burrow.
That's,
you know?
Right. He's exactly right.
And my dad was from southern Ohio. He was born in West Virginia but raised in Cincinnati.
Wow. And it wouldn't do the grass. It wouldn't stimulate growth because it's so dang cold over there. But you'd waste the fertilizer part. So, but down here it's different because, man, you know, we have stuff growing in the wintertime sometimes. And so you just don't want to stimulate that growth. And that's why you're not doing a lot of fertilization at all right now, because you can stimulate growth and you can get these plants much more susceptible to a cold such as that's coming up and you didn't want to do.
Very good. Anything else before we let you go?
Jeff, I think that's it.
And again, remind us over on the corner of...
Well, we're six days a week now. We close on Sundays till the spring, but, you know, we're there till 5. We kind of cut the hours back in the wintertime, but we'll extend them when spring hits.
Real good. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jeff.